We are all most appreciative of this opportunity that we have to once again be with those of like precious faith and to sing songs of praise unto our Father in heaven. We are glad for the presence of all. For those who are our visitors, we are glad that you are with us. And as we always say, you're our honored guest. And we hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us as we study the Word of God together and as we worship God in this place here. For the time that we have together this evening, we want to consider the last four verses of the reading this evening. And if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in verses 24 through 27, there's a comparison or illustration that Paul uses here we want to talk about this evening. During the next 2 weeks or so, we're all going to have the opportunity to see some of the world's best and greatest athletes compete in the games down in Atlanta. Now, whether we want this opportunity or not, that's another matter. But we do have this opportunity. We can turn our televisions on and we can see these great athletes as they strive to win a prize. They strive for that gold medal. And there's nearly 200 nations that have sent their most qualified performers to bring home honor and glory, not only to them as individuals, but also the nations that they represent. And we can see how that, in many instances, in times past, and I'm sure it's going to be exactly the same way now, that as these athletes begin to win these medals, they're going to be treated like heroes at home. They're going to return home and their stories and their achievements will be retold and retold. And children will seek to emulate these people. They'll be put up as role models. And generation after generation will begin to hear some of these things. And we'll see that for some of them, there's going to be a lot of money that is going to be made. And we see this once every 4 years. And the world kind of builds itself up, the athletic world does anyway, toward this time. And it's great anticipation during these 2 weeks and again, the striving for that honor and for that glory that sometimes can only come to an individual one time in their life. But there is going on daily a much more important race, a much more important competition, we might say. One that does not have the fanfare that we see that is going on in these Olympic Games. Because we find in this warfare or in this race that there's no one standing on the sideline or at home cheering those participants on. And yet it is a much more important race. It is one that has far-reaching consequences, much greater than this, that we can see in Atlanta. And that is the life of one who is a child of God. And I believe that's what Paul is talking about or trying to illustrate here to us in the things that he says in the latter part of chapter 9. Our lives have been, in the Word of God, compared to many things. We are soldiers in a battle, in the army of Christ, and we're going forth every day into battle against evil and against Satan. We are travelers on a road. We are farmers. And as he says here, we are also athletes competing in a game. Read with me once again verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul here, I believe, is striving to drive home a point that he wants to make to these individuals concerning their faithfulness unto God. And he's comparing it to a race. All of these individuals, I believe, in Corinth that he's writing to would be very familiar with this illustration that he is trying to make. Corinth was one of the leading cities in the world at that time in the Roman Empire. And although the Roman Empire had conquered it, they also rebuilt that city once again. And Corinth is not very many miles from Athens, where the games had their beginning. And so they would be familiar with competition, with games, with the running of races. As I said, we'd like for the few minutes that we have to make some comparisons between the physical race that we see from time to time, and again, are especially going to be seeing next week if we have any interest in those things at all. A comparison between that and the spiritual race that we are in as children of God. Now, when it comes to this race, one of the very first things that we note is that there are qualifications that everybody must meet. Before anybody can hope to bring home any kind of medal, whether it be in these games in Atlanta or whether it be in games around here and contests here, first of all, he or she must enter the race. And Paul, in talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, talks about that, uses that as an illustration, once again as he does here, for those who are children of God. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There have been rules in every contest. These are established beforehand. And if you want to qualify for that, then you've got to meet these rules and you've got to abide by those rules. You must comply with them if you have any expectation at all of winning the prize. When it comes to the Olympics, we will not see today or tonight or this week or next week anyone just not simply walking in at the start of a race and saying to the judges there, "I want to enter into this race. This lane is mine and I'm going to run and I'm going to run for the medal." We're not going to see anybody do that. Because we know that in these contests there are sometimes weeks and months of trial qualifications where those who are the best and those who are the fastest will qualify to enter these games. Not anybody's just going to walk in there. First of all, they've got to meet the qualifications. And even in the Olympic Games, we find that they have what is known as heats. And in these heats, they race to qualify for the finals. And you've got to qualify before you can get into that. You've got to meet certain requirements that have been established beforehand. And only the best, and only the fastest, and only the strongest are those that are going to be selected. And during these qualifying trials, some people are eliminated. We have seen from time to time how some who are imposters would want to try to receive the honors of certain victories in some races without qualifying. I think we have seen this in some marathons, how that someone will jump in at the last minute. They haven't qualified themselves, and so therefore they cannot win the crown. You may be the best. You may be the most disciplined runner that there is. But if you have not qualified for the race, you will not receive the medal. You may get on the track and you may outrun everybody in world record time. But once again, first of all, you must qualify. For us to qualify, if we can again use that word, in this spiritual race that we are to be in, we must be children of God. Only those who have obeyed those initial steps unto salvation are those individuals who have qualified for this race, for this spiritual race. Because these individuals, unless we do qualify in this way, we cannot win the crown. We must follow those steps of putting ourselves into the family of God. Again, we know what they are, as we've been taught many times. But you must hear the Word of God. You must believe the things that God has said unto us through His Son and through the Holy Spirit. You must repent of your sins, that is, stop doing what is wrong and you know to be wrong, and turn to do what is right. You must confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, you become a member of the family of God. You have begun this spiritual race. You have qualified yourself for that crown which lays at the end for the winner. We must follow these steps. We know that, or it's something that is comforting to us, I suppose we might say, that in this spiritual race, it is not like physical races. It's not necessary for us to run in races beforehand to see if we're going to qualify for that. Some of us perhaps wouldn't make it. But once we obey the commandments of God, then again, in that way, we have qualified. And it is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, that helps us meet these requirements that God has established. And when we meet them, we are in the race. There are those whom we find running the race, though, who are simply not qualified. I'm sure we have run across those individuals just like that. They may be friends, and they may be relatives, they may be neighbors next door. And we look to their lives, and we see how they are striving to do what is right. They're living a good moral life. And in many ways, they're following what God says in his book. Unfortunately, they have not qualified to win the crown at the end of the race. There are those that we are acquainted with who live according to the will of God, but once again, unfortunately, they're not his children. There are those that we are aware of in our day-to-day life who are walking the straight and the narrow. But again, unfortunately, they have not entered into that gate that leads unto eternal life. Somehow they've gone around that gate. They failed to go through it. They're trying to do what God says, but they have failed to enter into the race. They failed to qualify for it. They failed to become spiritually alive. They're separated from God. In this race that we are in, spiritual race, as we said, we've got to qualify for it. We've got to become children of God. We've got to abide by the rules, or we are not going to receive that crown which lies at the end. Concerning this race also, one of the things that becomes very apparent unto us, and perhaps this, you know, this goes without saying, but we're going to say it anyway, and that is, in this race, you've got to run it. Just because you qualify for it doesn't mean that you have automatically won the race. There's more to a race than just qualifying for it. There may be many who will meet the requirements of these Olympic Games, but who, for some reason or another, will not compete in the Games. We have seen in times past how that an individual will work very hard for many years, and they will qualify for the Olympic Games, and yet, at the last minute, there'll be some illness. There'll be some injury that will happen to them, and they'll have to drop out. Just because they qualified for it does not mean they're automatically going to win. We've seen a couple of tennis stars in these Olympics now having to drop out because of injury. Oh, they qualified for the teams in their nation, but they cannot win the prize because they had to drop out. They did not run the race. So just because one meets the requirements does not mean that he or she automatically is going to be a winner. We hear so much in these Olympics of the men's basketball team, how that they're locked for the gold. But that doesn't mean that everybody else is going to say, yeah, go ahead, take the gold medal. We don't even have to play you. You can go ahead and have it without winning any of the games. They're going to play. They're going to have to run the race. Each one of them, although it may be that they are that, quote, lock on winning the race, they're still going to have to run it in order to win. Spiritually, there are some who think that simply because they have qualified, they have already run. We might say that this is the equivalent, spiritually speaking, of once saved, always saved. This is the idea that many people have, and this is what we're talking about, spiritually speaking. And once they have been saved, they're always going to be saved. Once they're qualified, there's no way they can lose. Of course, we know that's not what the Bible teaches. In this race, as we run it, we run with self-control. I think as Ted was reading from the version or the translation that he had, that was the word that was used there in verse 25. Self-control, the word temperate, is also used. That's how we must run this race. Physically, the athletes who will compete in the games and in the races that they're going to run will not do any of those things that is going to keep them from the goal that they have set before them. Whatever they have to do, they're going to discipline themselves. They're going to have self-control because they have one thing in mind, and that is, I want to win that crown. I want that first place. I want that prize. And so they will eat properly. They will eat the right foods and diet for themselves. They'll get plenty of sleep. They'll exercise themselves very hard, even when they might want to be doing something else. And they will run with determination. And that's what we must do. Paul makes the statement there in verse 26, he's talking about, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. He says there's a determination about his run. Nothing is going to hinder him. And you know, we've seen and we've admired in some of these athletes that nothing is going to stand between them and the prize that they are seeking. They will do whatever they have to do. And you know, that's the kind of determination we as Christians must have also. That we will not allow anything to come between us and that crown of righteousness which the Lord has prepared for those that are faithful unto him. Now we as Christians, as we run this spiritual race, realize that it's not going to be something that is easy. But we will, with determination and knowing the value of the prize that lies at the end, we will run this race to the very best of our ability every day of our life. This race spiritually is not one that, as in some instances, we can compare to a spiritual race, where training is only done on occasions. You know, sometimes a boxer will do that. For a few months before the fight, they will train very hard, and then after the fight is over, they'll just quit for a while. And so they train and they let themselves go. They train and they let themselves go. Our battle, our race, cannot be like that. We don't train every once in a while. We should never think of ourselves just as being in training from time to time. Nor should we think that one day is less important than another day. We run this race all the time. And it is a race that we must run. Again, just simply because we have met the first requirements and qualified to win the crown at the end doesn't mean we don't have to run. We have to run in this race if we are going to win. In this race also, we have discovered, as the writer of the book of Hebrews points out, as we're going to see, that there are some things that will hinder us from winning the race. We hear from time to time some very sad stories about athletes, about their families, and even this spills over into the entertainment world, and how that values sometimes become confused, how that families are lost, how that loved ones are deserted, simply because some athlete wanted to reach that goal that was before him. Some movie star or entertainment person had some goal set for themselves, and that's all that they could think about. That they became so absorbed with this goal, everything else took a second place. Everything else took a back seat. Whether it was their family or whether it was their loved ones, whatever it was, we see that they lost that in order to gain the goal. But that's a kind of determination. That's a kind of single-mindedness that we as children of God need in order to gain the crown that is set before us. We need to have that kind of determination. The writer of the book of Hebrews makes mention in the 12th chapter in verse 1 of this same very illustration that we're talking about. He says there in verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There are going to be things in this spiritual race that we are going to have to leave behind. There are going to be those things that would hold us down. And they may be lawful and they may be right for us to have, but if they are hindering us from winning the race, we need to leave them behind. You know, athletes, sometimes in training for the races that they are going to engage in, will run with weights tied to them in some way or another. And they'll do this so that they might gain strength. We've heard about them, perhaps, running in sand or running in water in order to build up their muscles so that when they get out of that sand and they're on solid ground, or they get out of that water and they're running through air, they'll be able to run faster. Whenever they're in that race, they're ready to set aside whatever weights it is that is holding them back. But as we see in the actual race, they lay aside those things. I don't believe I have ever seen any athlete who will deliberately carry weights in a race that they're trying to win. I don't think we're going to see any of these people down there in Atlanta as they're running their races trying to run around the track maybe with a 5-pound weight in their hand. They might do that in practice to build up their strength. But when they're striving for that crown, they're going to set those things aside because it's holding them back. We're not going to see them running around there and with these weights in their hands. They're going to get rid of them because they're going to run as fast as they possibly can. That's what we need to do also. Whatever is holding us back from winning that crown, from winning that race, we need to set it aside. And there are things in this life that will hinder us. The pleasures of this life, as we can read in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. It says there that these things bring no fruit to maturity. There are pleasures that are to be found in this life. There are some people who will not give these pleasures up, even though they claim to wear the name of Christ. They claim that they're striving for that crown of righteousness. They will not depart from these things. They will not depart from their drinking of alcohol, from their smoking, from their gambling, from one thing or then the other, the pleasures that life brings them. They're not going to depart from that. They're not going to lay aside those things. The parable also of the sower talks about the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. These are things that hinder people. These are things that are going to weigh people down, and they're not going to be victorious in this spiritual race. Christ himself talks about in Matthew 10, verses 36 and 37, how that a man may be called upon to give up his family and his possessions, his husband, wife, children, whomever it might be. And some are not willing to do that. They're going to hold on to these things, and as a result, they're not going to win the race. There's false teaching. There's the lust of the flesh. And as one begins to think about the race that they are in spiritually, they may begin to count the cost and think about that and the effect that it's going to have on their life and the work that they're going to have to put into it to win that crown. And they're going to say, it's just not worth it. It's not worth giving these things up. And as a result, they'll be hindered. And they won't win the race. As we have mentioned all through here, that there is a prize at the end. There is a crown. You know, Olympic winners are awarded with medal disc, I guess we might say. Perhaps we've seen them of gold, silver, and bronze. And there's great honor that is bestowed upon these winners. They're loved by everyone. In our day, we can see that the receiving of these gold medals sometimes can mean millions upon millions of dollars for that person. This is the kind of honor that they receive, the praise from their own countrymen. And they may gain enough money not only for themselves, but also for their children and their grandchildren because of what they have accomplished. This is what they strive for many times. The crown that we have is one, as Paul talks about here, it's imperishable. It does not perish. It is incorruptible. There is nothing that will cause it to decay. It's a crown that God gives us. A crown of glory, greater glory than we can find in any kind of games here on this earth. It's a crown of eternal life. That's what we're striving for. No one can take it away from us. It's not going to decay. It's not going to corrode or be corrupted, and it will never fade away. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. It's a crown of victory. A crown of victory over sin and over death and over Satan. And it's one that is going to be given to us by Jesus Christ Himself. We're amazed and we're in awe sometimes as we look at those who have the dedication to strive for these gold medals. The things that they're willing to do in order to have that little gold medal and the honor and the praise and the glory that goes with it and all of the other worldly things that would go with that. But all of these things are going to perish. It matters not how long they hold on to them or how well they take care of those things. That gold is going to corrupt. That glory and that honor is going to fade away. All that money that they might receive is going to be spent. Their health and their youth is going to turn into old age and they're going to decay it themselves. That which we strive for can never be taken away from us. It can never decay. It can never be defiled. Christians, we need to have sometimes, I think, just half of the determination that some of these athletes have as they set their mind and their life on the goal that they're striving for. And if we could have just half of that determination, it would assure us of the victory in the end. But also we need to talk about, as Paul did here in verse 27, disqualification. He says there, and that's the word that is used in the New King James and the one that was read from the pulpit here just a few moments ago. I think the King James uses the word reprobate or be disqualified. I myself should become disqualified or be reprobate. That word disqualified simply means they're not going to be allowed to win the crown. We understand that in the racing terms. When an individual is disqualified from a race, what does that mean? That means they have done something in some way or another that's going to take them out of the competition. They're not going to win that crown. There are several things that an individual might do over the next 2 weeks that will disqualify them from competition. It might be drugs, and this is something that is very prevalent. It might be that they have bent a rule, that they've shown up, they've weighed too much or weighed too little as it relates to the wrestling. It might be one thing or then the other. They have become disqualified because they have not met with the standards. And you know there are things that can disqualify us from this race that we need to run. Paul says there in verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." And you know any sin that we will not forsake is going to be the thing that will disqualify us. It doesn't make any difference how we may view that particular thing that we are doing. If it is wrong according to the standard that has been set by the Word of God, we are disqualified from the race. We are not going to be one who can receive that crown at the end. That prize has been taken away because we've not met the standards. God says concerning sin, we must get rid of it. We must forsake it. And whatever it is, if we fail to forsake that sin, we can't be a recipient in the end of the crown of righteousness. Again, however we might view that sin, whether it be a little bit of gossip, a lie, pride, whatever it might be, greed, love for money, lust for the life that we live, whatever it might be, if we will not forsake it, then we can become disqualified. We will not win that crown. It will not be ours on the day of judgment. And we will not hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In closing, we want to leave this thought with you. One of the things that impresses me when I watch these games and sometimes just kind of leaves me with cold chills is that with every athlete, we find that no matter what country he is from or she is from, she's going to have those who are her countrymen or his countrymen cheering them on. And perhaps it is that although it's a small nation and very few athletes and they may not win many medals, we find that there's going to be a few that's going to travel halfway around the world just to be there to cheer their fellow countrymen on. And those that are winners are going to be cheered, they're going to be praised, and they're going to be honored. Family and friends, countrymen, will all be there watching. And if they're not there in person, they're going to be there probably watching the television, however late at night it might be. And there'll be great honor and glory bestowed upon that individual. Because they're there and they're watching and they're cheering their countrymen on. As we read just a few moments ago in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, there may not be those who are physically cheering us on in this race. But as the writer of the book says here by inspiration, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Witnesses means that they are seeing us do something. We are surrounded by these witnesses as they testify, as I believe he's talking about in the 11th chapter, those that are faithful. They are testifying to us of their faithfulness. And they are more or less watching us in this race. And if we can, he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Whenever you see, perhaps the next 2 weeks, those individuals cheering their countrymen on to win the race, keep in mind that there is a great cloud of witnesses that are spectators at our race. And they are more or less cheering us on. They're wanting to see us be victorious. They're wanting to see us win the crown of righteousness that God has laid up for those that are faithful unto him. There's one other wonderful thing about this race, spiritually speaking, and that is everybody who completes it is a winner. You know, in these Olympic Games, there may be 10,000 people who will compete, but there's only going to be one who's going to be a winner. In this spiritual race, everybody who finishes it, everybody who qualifies and abides by the rules, no matter how slow it might be for us, we're going to win. We have a crown of righteousness waiting for us. As Paul said there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, there is a crown of righteousness waiting for him, but not for him only, but all that have loved his appearing. That's a wonderful thing about this race. We can all be winners, and we all will be winners, as long as we are steadfast, and as long as we do not give up. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, have you met the qualifications? Have you met the qualifications to enter the race? Have you entered by that gate that leads to the straight and narrow way that's going to go to eternal life? If you haven't, you need to. You need to repent of your sins. Have faith. Confess your faith. And to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If in some way in this race that you have been running to obtain that crown of righteousness, you've faltered, you've stumbled in any way, and you've sinned against God, and you've sinned against others, you need to ask forgiveness. Then you can come once again, qualified for that crown of righteousness. An opportunity is yours this evening. We pray that as we stand and sing the song, you'll make your wishes known. Won't you do it as we stand and sing?